and I know that others are wanting to jump in, and I know that here in the coming weeks we'll be continuing as we get back kind of into the school calendar, kind of looking towards getting that regularity of practice schedules and all that kind of good stuff back together, and I'm thankful for that. And it's good to see the church wanting to grow in those areas and worship and learning new songs and leading us in the songs that we have learned. And that's just, it's awesome. It's awesome to see a church wanting to do that. You excited about that?
Yeah.
All right. Good. I know it's a summer Sunday. I know, guys. I know. And we still haven't changed from the 9 a.m. service. I know. I think 2 o'clock in the afternoon is the next time that we might want to move it to. I don't know. No, it is good to be here this morning. Thankful for you. Thankful that you're willing to get up, come to church. It is a good desire to have. And I'm thankful that you're willing to be here, each and every one of you. It is good to have Julia back with us this morning. Good to see you, Julia. And I know she was off in Virginia, I think, doing some internship work there for her schooling as she gets ready to finish up school and then getting married next February. And so I don't know how many more Sundays here at Bethania you have, but we're thankful that you're here this morning, and be praying that God will lead you forward. But it is good to see each and every one of you, and thankful that each of you are here this morning, and it is great to be here as myself, and I'm thankful that God has given us life and health and the ability to come together. If you would, go with me to Philippians chapter 1, and I know there's a lot that we have been studying, and Pastor Jeremy did a good job, and Peter, and we spent, 6 or 8 months in Peter, and we've gone through several of these great book studies. Thankful for each and every one of them. And I've kind of, my 3 Sundays that I had here in July, kind of shot around on different things. We dealt in Acts, and we dealt in chapter 2, I believe it was, looking at some of the main pillars of the beginnings of the church. And then we jumped into chapter 3 and looked last week into some more important aspects of God's patience towards not only Israel, but towards all of mankind and humanity, and his purpose and plan. And as we unveiled what he wanted to accomplish through the New Testament church, and then his purpose that he had given us. And so we continue to grow in those things. And as I prayed and sought the Lord as to what we wanted to dive into today, I thought that this would be a good place for us to land. As again, as I mentioned before, 2024 is an election year, and a lot has gone on in the last just a couple weeks in regards to the election being brought to our forefront, whether it be the horrible assassination attempt of one of the candidates, whether it be if you're into politics, there was a big convention among the Republicans here this last week, and maybe some of you tuned into that, but obviously the political campaigns, you can't get away from the commercials, and over the next several months, I guarantee you there'll be dozens more and all of that things, but this portion of Scripture was written from Paul's heart as he wrote to that church in Philippi, his desire to remind them of, as believers, as Christians, of their heavenly citizenship and what that meant for their practical daily life. And so this morning, that is my desire. My simple desire this morning is to spend a few minutes with you in God's Word. Pastor John has nothing special. I am not nothing special, but God's Word is special. God's Spirit is special. And if we allow those ingredients to come together into our hearts, then they can do some tremendous work of transformation that we all need this morning. And so that is my desire, that we would grow and learn together from God's truth and apply it into our lives. Now, this portion is probably a portion of Scripture, if you've been in Christianity for any time, you will have heard before. But it is also something that is a great reminder for us, and I had not tied it together necessarily before in the last part of chapter 1, flowing into chapter 2, like I saw this ability to do here in this context this morning. And so as we look, we're going to look at the last part of chapter 1, beginning in verse number 27 of Philippians chapter 1. And we're actually going to read all the way to the end of chapter 2 and verse 11. And that context, I believe, is something that will then, we'll be able to get some truth for our lives today. We need him. We desperately, desperately need him today. It doesn't take much time for you to look around the world we're living in and to realize that we miss God. It doesn't take much time for you to see what's happening in our culture, both nationally and internationally. It doesn't take much time for you to see complete dishevelment of the family unit, the breakdown of marriage, the breakdown of the pillars of what God established. It doesn't take a research institute to realize that our desire to come together as Christians in a thing called church has faded in the last 3.5 years, 4 years since COVID. It doesn't take a research institute to realize that our ability to read God's word and grow in it and to be cultivated in truth has diminished. And our desire and our need to get back to there should be something that should concern us, or our lack of desire. And so Paul, as he writes to the church in Philippi in this book that has been titled The Philippians, is something that I believe his heartbeat was towards. Putting that before them, putting that reality before them. There's a lot of verses that are put on plaques and different things out of Philippians. Running the race, reaching the prize. So many things are emphasized in Philippians. And so here I'd like us to get these verses into our hearts, into our minds, and then we'll pray that God would lead us to some truth that we can apply to our everyday life. So let's look together in verse number 27 of Philippians chapter 1. It says this: above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. I'm reading out of the New Living, so if your version is a little bit different, don't worry about it. But this is what it says in the New Living in chapter 1, verse number 27. Live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. By the way, that word gospel, that's exactly what it means, which is why in this simplified version it says good news. The word gospel means the good news. When we carry the gospel to the world, we are carrying the good news. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ came from heaven, sent from the Father. He came and lived a perfect life. He came and he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And there he suffered and shed his blood and died on a cross for your sin and for mine. And there he paid the price, the ultimate price that you and I could never pay for our sins. And he didn't remain in the tomb, because though he would have died for our sins, if he would have remained in the tomb, there still would not have been any effect for us. But because on the third day he rose again and he conquered death and he conquered sin, he showed he was invincible, he was over death and over sin, then you and I through him can have life. You and I through him can conquer death and can conquer sin in ourselves through Jesus Christ. That is the good news. That is the gospel. And we have received that the moment that we invite Jesus to become our Savior. We are in essence receiving the good news, receiving the gospel, receiving the reality that my sins are not upon me. They were placed on Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and that I live today not under the penalty of my sin, not awaiting the penalty of death and separation from God, which is the second death that we read about in Romans, but no, I am awaiting life, eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that is the good news of the gospel. And so the Bible says this morning, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith. We've preached about that in other occasions, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in the struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of it equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would guide our minds and our hearts in the moments that we have together to contemplate our citizenry, to contemplate what that calls us to. I pray, Father, that you would guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It was a day where being a citizen of the United States of America was something very distinguished. In times past, even in the life of Paul himself, it was a day where, as a citizen of Rome, who was the elite nation of the time, when he was in prison on one occasion, they had beat him, they had done some different things, and they were ready maybe even to kill him, and he appealed as a Roman citizen to be brought to trial as a Roman. The moment that they found out that he was a Roman citizen, that changed everything. They realized what danger they themselves were in for having touched a Roman citizen the way they did, and it changed his reality in that moment, in that situation he found himself. Citizenry changed things, humanly speaking. When Israel was attacked on October 7th last year, many Jewish people were killed and captured, but man, was a lot made of the fact that some of them were American citizens. It was a day where immediately the bad guys, when they knew they had touched an American citizen, it changed everything. You see, even in our world, just a few miles to our south, there was a day where the cartels one day would touch an American citizen. It was a big, big problem because they realized that you didn't touch American citizens. There was a ramification, repercussions that would happen if you touched an American citizen. I don't know if that's still the way it is. I don't think so. But there was a day where that meant something. Citizenry changes things. Well, dear friend, Paul understood that reality in a very personal way, like I told you about his life story. And here he takes a human element, a human thought process, which is citizenry, and now he applies it to a heavenly spiritual reality. And Paul was great at that. He takes the Olympics of his day and he talks about running the race of the Christian life and running. They would do it for that crown. Pastor Jeremy taught about a few weeks ago about that crown that they would put on, and then he applies that to the spiritual crowns that we can accomplish, that we will have. And many times Paul was great about taking human elements that you and I would connect to, and that the normal a person would connect to, and he would apply it to spiritual truth. And here he's trying to do the same thing as he encourages us Christians to live as citizens of heaven. Boy, that's a challenge. Amen? It is. It's a challenge. Why? Why? Because tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to go to work. You have a job, right? If it's your day to work, if you're not off this week, if you're not in summer vacay, hopefully some of you are. Enjoy it while it lasts. You get up, you go to work, there's bills to be paid Friday or Saturday or at some point. There's things to accomplish, there's family demands, there's grocery runs that we got to make, there's things that are happening in our day-to-day life that seem to just fill up our mindset. And if we're not careful, what can happen is that we are Christians living as earthly citizens. And Paul understood that dilemma, and he writes to the Christians in the city, and he says, hey, there is something that I want to point out to you. There is something that you need to focus on, and that is that you are citizens of heaven, and that changes everything. Changes everything. There are some tenets here, some tentacles that he springs out of that reality that I want us to apply this morning, I think, from the text. He says that as citizens of heaven, first of all, there should be some encouragement that comes along with that. Just like if I were an American citizen, there are some privileges. Just like in his time, being a Roman citizen brought some privileges. There are some tenets of heavenly citizenship that spring out of that reality. And one of them is that there is encouragement. He says there in chapter number 2, is there encouragement from belonging to Christ? Yes, there is, dear friend. Yes, there is. What is the encouragement? Well, he spoke about it in the first few verses there that we read in chapter 1 and verse 27. What is the encouragement? The encouragement is that we have received the good news of Christ. The encouragement is Christ himself. Dear friend, when you and I became Christians, we didn't win the heaven lottery. We didn't win the everything's going to go right in life lottery. We didn't win that I'm just going to be able to not stumble on sin lottery. No, no, no. What we won was Christ. Amen? That's what we won. We received Christ. And here he says, here is the realities of the citizens of heaven. What do you have? You have encouragement. Encouragement from what? From having Christ. That whether I hear about you, I know that you are standing together with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is in the good news. It's the good news of gospel that Jesus Christ has given us himself, that he suffered himself, that he counted us worthy to call us to himself so that you and I could be saved and redeemed from our sins and our trespasses, so that you and I could come to him in faith and be changed in our nature. Oh, we are encouraged through Christ because we received the gospel. We are encouraged through Christ because we have received community. Look at what it says there, that whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose. I talked about it last week when I talked, or 2 weeks ago when I talked about what happened in Acts, and they would come together, and Paul, in every city that he went to, he preached this reality that community is an important aspect because it brings about encouragement. You want to become discouraged as a Christian, stop coming to church. You want to be discouraged as a Christian, don't have Christian friends. Don't build Christian community. Why? Because our encouragement as citizens of heaven is in Christ. It's in receiving the gospel, but it's in the community that comes as a result of fellow believers coming together and a community of one spirit, one purpose, one faith. So why are we here this morning? We're here because of that. Why? Because we're citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we come together and we encourage one another. We are encouraged in Christ because that's what we received. We received the gospel in Christ. We received community in Christ. We received purpose in Christ. What is the purpose? Well, he says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. What is that? What is that suffering? It's in the struggle of living the life of the Christian here on this earth. What are we fighting? We're fighting our flesh, so are our fellow believers. We're fighting against the enemies of Christ, so are our fellow believers. There is encouragement in the struggle of a purpose, of sharing the good news with a lost and dying world, with marriages that are falling apart, with co-workers that are turning to the slavery of sin and habits that are going to destroy their life, and us being able to share with them the good news that Christ can save them and redeem them and can change their future and their present reality and their future eternity. Can I tell you that this morning, as citizens of heaven, we should have encouragement in Christ. We have encouragement through the gospel, encouragement through community, encouragement through purpose. As citizens of heaven, part of the tenets that we have that we cling to is encouragement. You're a discouraged Christian this morning. Can I caution you to examine where you're missing it? Because the Bible doesn't give room for a discouraged Christian to live that way as a citizen of heaven. He's given us every reason to be encouraged. He's given us every reason for us and every avenue for us to be able to live an encouraged life. Why was Paul and Silas chained, beaten in a prison, and singing praises to God? Why? Because they were encouraged in the gospel. They were encouraged knowing that their fellow Christians were out there praying for them, praying for their release, praying for the work of the gospel to be reaching to their world. And I can tell you, dear friend, that our present a condition does not dictate our joy. It does not dictate our happiness. It is the reality of Christ. It is the reality of the gospel. It is the reality of what Christ is accomplishing that builds in us encouragement. So if you're discouraged this morning, dear Christian, can I encourage you to look and examine? What am I missing? Is it the joy that the gospel should be bringing because of who Christ is for me? Is it the joy of community? Maybe I've detached myself. Maybe you're here and you're connecting through the live stream when you should be here in person. Can I tell you, dear friend, come, connect, be together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Hebrews tells us, as some have made a custom of. No. You come together. You grow. You grow in community. You grow in purpose. When we serve the Lord together, listen, I can guarantee you, if you and I took a mission trip today and we went and served the Lord for a week, your life would be different. A week from today, just by the fact that you serve God together with somebody for a week. I know coming here in September, we'll have some new programs and avenues that we're going to need teachers of and helpers of, and we're going to launch some new programs. And can I tell you, dear friend, I encourage you to get involved. Be a part of something, because in that unifying of purpose, in that joining together of community, in living out the good news of the gospel, it's all in Christ. But it builds encouragement as citizens of heaven. Not only is there encouragement, but there's comfort. It says there in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Yes, there is. Is there any comfort from his love? Yes. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Love is something that comes out of the citizenry of heaven. There's comfort. Comfort in that love that we have, first of all, received from God towards us. The reality that we have comfort, you and I, today, because God loved us first. Bible says, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, God had a plan of redemption. Galatians says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. There was a fullness of time. There was a plan. There was a design. Jesus did not come just because it just so happened. He came because God had a purpose and a plan to bring comfort to a fallen, sinful world, a hopeless, depressed creation that had turned its back on its creator. And God brought comfort by sending love towards us 2,000 years ago in the form of a babe in a manger, and that love was manifested all the way to the cross and all the way to today as his spirit seals every heart and every believer that puts its faith and trust in him. There's comfort as citizens of heaven. There's encouragement. There's comfort in the love that has been given towards us. There's comfort in the love that comes from us. Dear friend, Can I encourage you in this as citizens of heaven? Realize that some of your fellow citizens, God has placed them in your life so that your love towards them will be of comfort. Why do we place that body here of that loved one and line up the family there? It's just our culture. It's just the way it is. Where did that come from? It came from a design of the heart of God. It came from the understanding that it was going to be human to human touch and human to human comfort that was going to encourage people going through difficult trials and tribulations. Can I tell you something? You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to bring discouragement to your life. And the moment discouragement comes, you leave and abandon God's people. And can I tell you, that is the worst mistake you could make? when you falter and fail, when your faith stumbles, when hard times come, when struggles and trials come across your life, come be around God's people. And dear God's people, can you and I open our eyes a little bit wider and see the needs around us and realize that we're not here to accomplish our holy huddles and to just have our own little service time. It's here to meet the needs of others, and we have been given love so that love could flow out of us towards others. There is comfort as citizens of heaven. Comfort that comes in the form of love towards us, manifested from God the Father. The Bible says that we have the privilege of suffering for Him. Sometimes it's getting down to the dumps of somebody who's just fallen away and discouraged. And it's coming alongside that person and saying, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to struggle in sin. I know what it's like to struggle with doubt. I know what it's like to struggle with all of these things. Can I tell you, can I just love on you here? Can I just take a moment to encourage you? Why? Because as citizens of heaven, we have been given encouragement. We have been given comfort, and love has been manifested to us so that it can come from us as well. Can I encourage you, dear Christian, this morning, live out as citizens of heaven in your encouragement. Encouragement in Christ. Yes, the gospel made all the difference. That Christ has given us a community that we call Christians. That Christ has given us a purpose. It's to take the good news and live it out. As citizens of heaven, we've been given comfort. Comfort from the Lord and His love manifested toward us. Comfort as we love one another, encouraging one another. Along this journey that we will all go through the ups and downs of life. See, as Christians, we're not spared from the ups and downs of life. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible says that the sun rises on the just and the unjust. Listen, life is life. We all go through life. The difference is that as citizens of heaven, we have a comfort that the world does not have. We have a comfort. God wanted you to hear that. Mic number two? No, that's one, two. Encouragement. We've been given comfort. As we continue to look there in chapter number two, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Yes, there is. Any comfort from His love? You bet there is. There's love that's received. There's love that is given from us. There's love in us. Dear friend, this morning, as we have received, we should understand that Christ wants us to have love in our hearts. We should have love in our hearts. In a world that is so selfish, love is so divorced from their mindset and from their heart. Love is something that is not part of true love. See, in our world, we have mistaken lust and love, and we believe lust is love and lust is not love. Love is only manifested when Christ is there. Love is only understood from the spectrum of the citizens of heaven. Only we who have received the ultimate love can give ultimate love. That's why a Christian and a non-Christian cannot date. Because how can somebody who has never experienced ultimate love give ultimate love? And marriage should be a bond between two people who love each other and who love God. And I can tell you this morning that it is only in that perfect triangle where God can bless a marriage. And so therefore, that's why the Bible says that we should not marry unbelievers, because that is the love that can only grow from believers who place their faith and trust in God and have experienced that love. That love towards one another. As Christians, as believers, that comfort that the world desperately needs, only when we cover that love, when we hide that love, is when the section of the world that God wanted us to be able to bless. God wanted us as citizens of heaven to be that light in that world. Oh, we can be like Israel, who God appointed to be that light in that time. And there they hid that love. They hid that comfort. They decided to follow after other gods and fill the void of their life with the things that would not fulfill and would hide the shine of the true love that God had in them. And you and I, dear friends, we can do the same thing. We can make the same mistake, but God help us not to. Our world desperately needs to see that comfort of love in us and from us. But not only that, as citizens of heaven, we've not only been given encouragement, we've not only been given comfort, but we've been given fellowship. Look at what it says there in that first verse. It says, is there any belonging to Christ? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Oh, I can tell you, dear friend, there is encouragement from Christ. There is comfort from the love that we have from us and to us and from us. But there's also fellowship in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means that though me and Brother Oscar have different backgrounds, though me and Brother David have different backgrounds, different life experiences, different ways of growing up, different eras, different times, different ages, and we can come here and that we are unified because the same Spirit that saved them on the day that they turned to Christ saved me. And the same Spirit that dwells in me dwells in them. And now we can have fellowship because the Spirit of unity unifies us. That Spirit is the Spirit of God, and it seals every believer from the moment that they turn from their sin, from the moment that they call upon the name of the Lord to ask him to become their Lord and Savior, believing and trusting in what he did on the cross in the work of salvation and the good news of the gospel. That Spirit comes into us, and now Brother Alvaro, and who was with me in fifth grade, and Brother Oscar, who we never knew each other in fifth grade, we can come together in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can come and we can have fellowship as citizens of heaven because we have a spirit of unity. I trust that as Christians, we don't hate on other Christians. It's not the spirit that God has given us. You should be very careful with that sentiment, with that reaction. We can be fervent for the truth of the gospel. I'm always saddened when Christians don't want to stand up for the truth. I was reading an article a couple days ago on valleycentral.com, and there was some lady pastor in the Presbyterian area of our community that was the first LGBT something, something, something pastor. I can be saddened by somebody who takes the name of Christ and violates the principles and truth of this book. I can be saddened by that. That's okay. But I should be very careful with other Christians. A spirit of disunity not grow in me for flippant reasons. I should be very careful that a spirit of fellowship should be what flows out of me in a spirit of unity. In a spirit of unity that changes my reality. Why? Because I am a citizen of heaven. And though in the World Cup this summer I'll cheer for United States of America. Though in the Olympics this summer I'll cheer when the USA wins the gymnastics or whatever we end up winning. I will cheer for it, and I'm glad for my citizenry here on earth, and I'm happy about that. But you know what? I will definitely never put it on the par, on the level of my citizenry in heaven, who is my essence, who absolutely brings about a different spirit of unity, of fellowship in Jesus Christ, my Savior. It's a different unity, different sense. Here, the Bible encourages us, any fellowship together in the Spirit. Yes, what flows out of that? What flows of the fellowship together in the Spirit? Well, the next question answers that. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Oh, can I tell you, dear friend, that the citizenry of heaven, it brings about encouragement, it brings about comfort, it brings about fellowship in that spirit of unity, in that spirit of tenderheartedness. You know why? Every single week we pass the offering plate and we say, hey, there's missionaries that we're supporting. Hey, there's needs in our community that we can meet. And we come together and we try and do our best because it reminds reminds us in a vivid way of our hearts being tender towards the cause of the kingdom, towards the things that God is trying to accomplish. And it reminds us to have a spirit, a tender-hearted spirit of fellowship. It brings us together. It says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Oh, there's that spirit of unity. Citizens of heaven, they have a spirit of unity. I always question somebody who is a divisive person, always trying to cause friction and always trying to cause divisiveness. I'm like, I'm questioning your citizenship. Show me your green card. No. I'm questioning your citizenship. Because the citizenship of heaven, it drives us to a spirit of unity, not disunity. Somebody who's always looking to be divisive, every time they text and call you, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, what about this? I can't believe they're doing this. Just observe. I'm not telling you to judge them. I'm just telling you to observe. I'm telling you to be cautious. Why? Because God tells us as citizens of heaven, there should be a spirit of encouragement, Christ-centered encouragement. There should be a spirit of comfort coming from the love towards us and from us. There should be a spirit of fellowship coming from the Spirit of God that lives in us, that brings us unified, a desire to see tender-hearted compassion. It says there, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Man, when the church comes together as citizens of heaven, what a dynamic, powerful, explosive reality can become of that. If our church gets a hold of the realities of the citizenship of heaven, these 320 chairs won't be enough to be able to withstand the amount of attraction to the truth that we'll live out. If we'll go to work tomorrow, if we'll go to school in a couple weeks, and we'll live out this truth, and we'll say, as a citizen of heaven, I'm going to live in the encouragement of the gospel, of that Christ changed me, of the community that I got through Christ. I'm going to live out as comfort to a world that desperately needs to see the love of Christ that was in me, that I received one day, and that is now flowing out of me. And I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to live in the fellowship of the Spirit of God towards a unified goal, towards a unified purpose. I'm going to wholeheartedly give of myself in loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Dear friend, what a difference that will make. And like I said, it is challenging. It is. Why? Because we live day-to-day life and we're just so easily consumed by what we see in the next step in front of us. And that's why Paul, on another occasion, he says, lift up your eyes. See what's around you more. Why? Because if you're only focused on your problems, your needs, the next thing you want to accomplish, your goals, and all of a sudden it all becomes you. And I know we live in the I generation, I call it. I know there's names for the different generation, but I call this the I generation. We even have iPhones. You see where it fits? iPhones. It's all about me. I can't think of a better reality for us to focus on this morning here in the middle of 2024. And to realize it's not about me. It's about the citizenship that I have been given of heaven. It's about God who brought encouragement when I needed encouragement because I was lost in sin. I was lost in wickedness. And I found somebody that I could turn to who would encourage me. Christ gave himself for me. And then one day he came looking for me when I was lost in the miry clay of my own sin. He came and he found me and he put me up again. He put me on the solid rock, on the true foundation that is himself. And now he's given me a community. Now he has given me purpose. Now he has given me comfort. As I have received his love, I can give that love. Now I have fellowship, not only with one another, fellowship in the spirit, a fellowship that unifies our purpose, a fellowship that makes my heart tender towards what makes God tender, towards what God cares about is what I'm going to care about. Oh, I can tell you, dear friend, that if we live as citizens of heaven, what a different reality we will live. And so I encourage you this week, go out from here and have a desire to live out Philippians 1:27 through 2:11. Christ gave us that example. That famous portion that comes at the end, we didn't get to. Christ gave us the example of his humbleness, of his desire to encourage the world. It was the biggest encouragement that could possibly happen 2,000 years ago when he left heaven and came to this world to die on a cross. He encouraged only the way that Christ, God's Son, could. And not only that, he comforted the world that needed comforting, lost in its sin, lost in its hopeless state, having turned its back from the Garden of Eden, from the God of its creation, and having had nothing gone right since. He comforted the world that desperately needed. He came, humbled himself, was willing to go to the cross. And now God elevated him so that now in him, his followers can have unity, can have a spirit, can have fellowship that only Christ could provide through himself. And that's what we find in the last verses of chapter 2 there of that section. And I encourage you this morning, go from here with the desire to live out this truth. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Feeble attempts that I made to try and expound upon it, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that you would just do the work in every heart that only you can do. Father, if we live and we try and live this reality in and of our own efforts and our own work, we will fall short every time. But your word says that the life that I now live, I live in the power, the reality of your spirit, through the work of Jesus Christ in every believer. Father, I pray, Lord, I know that I'm in a room of many, many believers here. And maybe within the reach of my voice, there are many believers here. I pray, Lord, that your word will have accomplished the work in every life and every heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed, perhaps this morning, say, Pastor John, in my life, there's been some flaws as a citizen of heaven. There's been some shortcomings of these realities that we find in God's word. And this morning, I have a desire to change that. God's spirit has spoken to me, and I know there's some things that I need to get right this week. Even this morning, there's some things that me and God need to talk about. Would you just pray for me, Pastor John? Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to just know that that's a Christian that's in that state. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would work in every life and every heart, those that have been moved by your truth and those that have not. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just do a work that only you can do, that Bethany Baptist Church would not be the same church in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, that, Lord, we would see a revival. Oh, Lord, that's a word that we've forgotten about. Lord, that a spirit of unity would unify us, that comfort we seek from you, an encouragement that we have received from you, Lord, that you would guide us, you would lead us, not in our own efforts, but in Christ. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.